Hey Andy, how are you?
Oh man, I'm kind of passing myself going these days, but exciting.
little bit busy this weekend, huh?
Oh man, I tell you what, it's crazy, man. It's crazy, but yeah, it's exciting.
Now, I just interviewed your brother about an hour ago, so I'm going to ask you a lot of the same questions. Don't worry, it's not like I'm not trying to cross-examine you or anything like that.
The funny thing is, I'll probably like answer them word for word because we're kind of, the twins. We're almost like twins.
Have your talking points ready? One of the things I asked him, he had, he's married and has kids. Are you married and have kids too?
Yeah, I do. I have two kids.
All right, how old are they?
I've got a 5-year-old little boy and a 2-year-old little girl, so I'm
Oh,
kind of
okay.
right in the middle of it.
So you're still starting out. How often do you make sure that your wife gets her mom's night out?
We kind of worked out a system. We've had some older couples that are kind of a little bit wiser that have kind of helped us figure that out early on, and so we take a night out. We try to take at least one every week and a half. She gets one, and then once every week and a half, I get one, which I'm real simple. I just go to the movies and hang out. But yeah, so we try to be regular as we can with that so that we don't get burnt out. We just kind of get away from from being shell shock experience. So
Sure.
it's important.
Absolutely. Now, explain to me kind of how this the script came to you and how you got involved and at what level of involvement and like how much revisions and changes went into the script once you guys got a ha hands on it.
Well, when we first we were looking for what our next film was, and didn't think it was going to be a comedy. And our friend Kevin Downs, who acts in the film as well, he's a producer and he produces the movie. He brought us a script that was stuck in development at another company that just had tons of potential. And he said, "You got to read this." We read it, and both John and I were just laughing out loud, just how hysterical and relatable it was. And it was written to be a smaller film. Kind of made for a smaller budget, and we just fell in love with it, and so we acquired it. And John jumped in as a co-writer and started kind of adding scale and kind of beefed it up, made it bigger and bigger and funnier. But the heart of that story kind of remained intact, that kind of nucleus of what it was, and just what came out of it was just a laugh out loud hysterical movie. So we got excited about it, and in the process, Sony came on board and said, "We want to make this movie," and we said, "We got to get the cast that we want, and because it all hinges on having the right people." And they got behind it, and the rest is history. So it's been a wild journey to kind of watch. Nothing that usually takes well over 2 years to get a project through development and into the theater. And we're at about we've been working on the project for just that 2 years. So it was exciting to see.
Okay. One of the things I found interesting about it was it's obviously comes from a faith-based perspective, and you guys do faith-based work, but it's not, I mean, you compare it to something out there like, it's this year, even you just had Son of God, you had God's Not Dead, you have Heaven's for Real, very overtly not just faith-based, but it's about faith. What was, I found this kind of a unique offering that it was. I mean, the message is there, but
Sure.
that's not what the movie's about. And was that intentional? Did you want to? Were you trying to sort of, bridge out a little bit more and, broaden the market as well?
When we went into it, we weren't leaning one way or another as far as we didn't try one way or another. We feel like as storytellers, our first obligation is to tell a good story and to entertain. And so when we stepped into it, we said this needs to be funny. It needs to compete within its genre, which is comedy. But within that, we feel like comedy was a great opportunity to look at the worldview of kind of a Christian culture without it being the butt of the joke and without it being just to kind of present it in a positive light and to tell it honest to what those people in the story go through. So we felt like we tried to make the message, as it were, really fit within the characters and to be organic and really have not feel forced or cliche and not apologetic for the message at all, but from the worldview of the characters that we're telling a good story first. So I think it feels a little bit more seamless, and comedy, you know, is something that feels more approachable, because as you laugh at something, it kind of helps you understand it better. And so I think it was a great opportunity to kind of branch out into, you know, something new within the genre, to still deal with elements of faith that are important, but to do it in a way that's entertaining.
Was there a tipping point where you suddenly realized that this was going to get a, I know you said, you, especially John, was pushing to make it a bigger production. Was there a point where you suddenly realized, you're like, oh, holy cow, this is going to go out to 1,000 theaters. This is going to get a wide release. This isn't just going to be some little platform thing that squeaks out there and ends up on video. Was there a tipping point at that, a point where you realized that that was where it was going?
You know, you get kind of like a gut feeling at some point that this is something special. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you try not to listen to that, because, you know, you're afraid of setting up the expectation that this isn't realistic. But I do think that when we started casting it, and very rarely do you get your first pick on any cast, and when we got our first pick on every cast member, and then they got on set and you saw the chemistry between them. There's a lot of comedies where you have great actors, but they're either selfish or there's just not a good chemistry, and that's not something that you can kind of force or fake. And when we got this cast together, and the chemistry that developed on set, and we watched them interact with each other, there were several times back by the monitor and Video Village where I was just looking at the monitor and looked over at John and said, this is special. I think this is great. And it kind of comes to life in a way that, you know, you always would hope for, but you dare not dream. And so I think each step along the way, and then when you get through the edit and watch the final version with a test audience and watch how they respond, you know, I think those are the moments where you're like, I think this could you know, go farther than we ever imagined. So it's definitely, by a lot of times Hollywood standards, a much smaller budget than they used to. But I think just there was something special that happened that was kind of awesome to be a part of. So. We kind of figured it out little bits along the way, and it's cool to see where it came.
How did you go about securing the cast? Because, you got two actresses, two of the lead actresses are on successful TV shows right now. And you know, Sarah Drew hasn't been killed off Grey's Anatomy yet, and that happens every week with the characters.
That's funny. So, yeah, true. Yeah, she has not been killed off yet. She's not lost any body limbs or anything.
Yeah, exactly. How did you go? How did you end up getting them to on board for this production?
Yeah, I just think they resonated with the material. I think it's cliche, but it always comes down to the script. And as they read the script, they kind of bought in that, hey, we like the perspective and we like, you know, the way that it's, you know, represented. And so that really started with Sarah. You know, we had to find the right actress that was going to play every mom in a way that was relatable and endearing, but also kind of messy. And Sarah does that so well. And, you know, my wife is actually a huge fan of Grey's Anatomy. And so Patricia Heaton had recommended, when Patty was still deciding whether she was in or out of the project, and we talked to her a little bit about it, she was thinking through it. She said, regardless of what I do, you need to go meet Sarah Drew. And I was not a huge Grey's Anatomy fan at that time. I've since watched all 9 seasons on Netflix, and it's become a problem. But you know, my wife is a huge fan of the show, so I came home and I was like, yeah, we're thinking about casting one of the doctors from Grey's. It's this girl, redhead, Dr. Kempner, and she's like, Sarah Drew, and she starts doing cartwheels across the floor. She came up and grabbed me by the shirt. She's like, you have to cast her. There's nobody else for this role, and so. I attribute a lot of that to Patty Heaton and my wife. But, you know, when Sarah came on board, we knew that we had a movie because we knew we had the right Allison. After we had the initial meeting with her, we all skipped down the street saying, there's nobody else to play this role. There's just this kind of Amy Adams quality about her, this approachability, that kind of that, you know, something intangible that you can't really describe that's magic with her. Yeah. And very unselfish actress. And so I think that was a treat. And then, you know, Patricia Heaton, once Sarah signed on, Patty said, you know, I think I really want to do this movie. And so she signed on not just as an actress, but as an executive producer, and really helped us make the material as good as it could be, and gave a lot of great ideas. And so she came on to play the mentor character, this pastor's wife. And the thing I appreciate about Patty is, I mean, she's comedy royalty. There's a long line of strong women in comedy, you know, from Lucille Ball to Carol Burnett. And I think Patty Heaton definitely belongs in that lineup somewhere, because she has definitely done some special stuff. Very trustworthy face when it comes to comedy. When she came out to play the pastor's wife as this mentor character, she said, "I don't want to play a caricature. I really want to understand something unique that makes them tick." And she really kind of developed a well-rounded character that is interesting to see her character arc through the film, and that was cool. And then Sean Astin signed on to play the husband, and he's just this great everyman Boy Scout guy that just Sean never does the script the same way. He looks at the script, throws it over his shoulder, says, "I'm not going to do any of that." And he improvs a ton. So he's kind of like, you never really know what you're going to get with Sean. You just point him in the right direction and kind of wind him up, and he goes. So it was exciting to see what he developed. He made the material that was funny, just really, really funny. Yeah. And then, you know, Trace Adkins is a guy that I feel like has a bright future in acting because there's just something natural about him. This aw shucks thing that he puts out that's just awesome to watch. And so he had some good moments. And then, you know, from top to bottom with the cameos, we felt like every cameo needed to be meaningful because a lot of times in a small budget, it breaks down along the supporting players. And we felt like everybody needed to be spot on. So they all signed on, and we said, when it's your moment to shine, you need to shine. And they did. And so I'm proud of every actor from, you know, all the way down through the mix. So it was an ensemble cast that I was proud to attach my name to as a director. I was spoiled.
Now you were just talking about the challenge of doing a comedy, and you were coming right off of October Baby with this one, correct?
Right.
How do you make that switch from a very, you know, pretty heavy issue driven movie to a screwball comedy? Was that a difficult transition?
Yeah, it is, and it was one I was terrified of because a lot of directors don't make that transition well. There's a lot of dramatic directors that when they try to switch over to comedy, they just don't get it and get it right. And then there's a lot of comedic directors that when they try to go drama, it just doesn't work. But I think that switch from drama to comedy is actually harder because comedy is nitroglycerin, and it's such an inexact science of what's funny, and it's so subjective that it terrified me. And so what made me want to sign on to it was the fact that at its core, underneath all the laughs, it wasn't a comedy for comedy's sake. There was a good heartfelt story under there that I could kind of sink my teeth into as a director, that the actors could sink their teeth into, that we were going to tell a good, heartwarming, relatable story that, you know, it just has tons and tons of heart. And I could latch onto that. And then the material on top of it, we felt like was all about the casting. If we got the casting right, they would make it funny if we had a good story to tell, you know, that wasn't just all fluff and stuff. And I think it's got both. And so when we sign on to a movie, John and I are really passionate about our obligation is to tell the story the way the story is supposed to be told and to be true to that story. So we approached it much different than we did October Baby. But, you know, like I said, it has to have a story that I believe in and I can tell audiences. So the cool thing that we did is I studied – there's a lot of different comedic directors that I really, really respect. I try to study their methods and how they have that environment. And, you know, one of the directors that I really like, how he crafts, he uses a lot of improv, Paul Feig, as, you know, how he does that a lot of times is he, you know, takes the boundaries off his actors and lets his actors just kind of, he casts it really well, but then he lets his actors kind of have some liberties. Mm-hmm. And a lot of improv. And so on the set, we just said, "Hey guys, nothing's going to be taken a test. Best idea wins. You know, if the material doesn't work, we're going to make it work and we're going to figure it out as we go." And so I think the cast really made the script just that much more funny just on the day. And we had a lot of fun improvising and just having a good time. We knew what the story was. We knew what the nucleus was. We stuck with that. But then we gave them liberties when it came to making sure we got the laugh.
Okay. Little more family friendly than Paul Feig's stuff, right?
Well, a little bit. You know, definitely a totally different audience. But you know, you can learn from each person's methods, and he's a good director. So I think that this is definitely needed to have a family friendly film where it's clean humor, because I think there's an audience that craves that. But we tried to learn from other good comedic directors that had done it well.
What were some of the ways you went to maintained a high production value? Because a lot, just any independent film, always struggles with looking cheap. How did you manage to, I mean, what were you, what did you do to make sure that that didn't happen with this movie?
It's definitely a team effort. We tried to be resourceful, and I think sometimes when, you know, I think lack of a budget can be one of two things. It either can kind of result in this defeatist mentality of we can't do any better, mm-hmm. or I think it can be the necessity of invention where it just, you don't have money to throw at the problem, so you have to get creative, and you have to think outside the box and make it work. And I think sometimes that can make the creative process even better if you just work that much harder. I think there's a lot more sweat and tears that go into it, but I think it's there. The solution is there if you work hard for it and don't just give up. And I think that starts with a great team. We've got a team of guys and girls that have been with us for at least the core of our team has been with us for years. Yeah. And Kevin Downs, the producer, kind of filled in the gaps of the places that we need to help. And he helped assemble the team that had that same philosophy. But we've got people that have been with us from all the way back in music video days. And I think that environment of music videos kind of created a resourcefulness where you didn't have the budget to throw it. You had to invent it some other way. And so we've got a very resourceful team. And then we just had people that came in on board from the actors all the way through the department heads that bought into the philosophy that best idea wins. We're going to have a collaborative environment where we're going to all work to make this film the best it can be. And they busted their tails to make sure that happened. So I think it's just a great team effort and being resourceful and being creative. And I was really excited with what it ended up on the screen. And Kevin Downs is the producer, is a magician as far as stretching a budget. Mm. And I still don't know how he got some of the stuff that we needed, but we got it.
Yeah. Like I said, after October Baby and then this, where do you go from there? What's next?
I think Monday morning I'm going to crash on the couch and not wake up for 3 or 4 days. But after I catch my breath, we've got 3 or 4 potential stories that are up next. You never know. I didn't think Mom's Night Out was going to be the movie that was going to be our next movie. I really thought it was going to be a different one. Sometimes as a director, you go out and find a good story, but 9 times out of 10, the really good ones find you. And so we think that we know what's next, but we feel confident now that we can at least be comfortable enough floating between, whether it's drama or comedic. And so I think it frees us up to how we choose that. But I think that a lot of it depends. We're just going to focus on having a great weekend and then see how it all shakes out on Monday.
Okay, well, great. Good. Best of luck to you guys. I hope it does well.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate the interview. Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. And we'll see you in the movies.
I appreciate it, buddy.